No special singers.
Man, I don't know what's wrong with y'all.
God's going to make all of y'all where you can't talk. I'm talking about the ones that can sing. Hey, God about made Stephanie where she couldn't talk. See, this is the best she sounded in years is since she's been coming here. Huh? Yeah, man. I mean, for a couple years, I'd go down here to the dollar store and it's like, ah, ah, ah. I said, man alive. I told her to quit screaming at you, Larry, and that's what would help that. That's what they all say. Yeah, I got to thinking about that the other day. I thought, well, you know, Stephanie's voice isn't like it used to be. Got a lot. See, you started coming to the right church. There it goes. Got healed. Had a healing. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. This is kind of proceeding on with what we were talking about this morning. And when Philip had gone down to Samaria and preached and then and baptized some. In verse 14, it said, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which he has spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And as mentioned already, Lord, we know there's a church grieving there in Texas, Lord, and probably have some fear and shock. Lord, just be with them, Lord. Help us, Lord, just protect us, put a hedge of protection around us. And speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. We're thankful we can come together. Thank you for the good number here tonight as we meet, worship you, Lord, sing fellowship, and then look at your word. Cleanse us, Lord. Fill us with your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title is The Wind, Blow It Where It Will. I'll read that verse to you here in a little bit about that. We went down. We talked this morning about Philip. He'd gone down to Samaria to preach, and you know, that was a big deal because of the perceived the ethnic differences between the Samaritan, who was a half Jew, half Gentile, and the Jews. It was, you know, they had a lot of prejudices that they had to deal with. But as I said, the Jews wouldn't have any dealings with the Samaritans, but the Christians did. And we can see the work of God in Philip's heart that he went down there to Samaria to preach to those folks, and God worked. I mean, we read this morning, I mean, he was healing people, and there was joy in the city. People were being baptized, and I mean, man, it was just a buzz that was going on. This Christian thing had taken place, and but you know, it starts off in the verse I read now. It said, when the apostles which at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. And I would imagine, though, that there was probably they were obedient to the will of God, but I imagine it was shock. It was just shock that God was working, you know, outside, because you're talking about Jews that were, you know, for a long time, that you know, you had to come to Judaism to come to God. I mean, you had to do that, and the Jews kind of got prideful in that. Well, we're special people, you know, and you know, we've got, you know, God's on our side in that. And now they found out that God's reaching out to the Gentiles and Samaritans and other, you know, folks. And so I think it was a shock to them, and maybe the Hebrew prejudices still existed, but being obedient to the will of God, they sent Peter and John, and you know, they came in line with the plan of God, how God was working. And, you know, that's something that we're going to see in one of the first points that we look at tonight is just, you know, we sometimes we think we got God all figured out. You ever know? We think that we just know, oh, this is how God's going to do it, and this is how God's going to act, and this is probably what God's going to do. And listen, we, you know, we don't have a brain big enough to have God figured out. I can tell you that, and how he might do something, how he might work. And So, you know, the thing with us is we don't have to have God figured out. We just got to follow. You know, as the Holy Spirit leads, we need to go that way. And everything will be all right. And so they did. They said, hey, this is what God's doing. We're going to send Peter and John down there and, you know, see what's going on and do some praying. And they had confidence in Philip, no doubt. And then we see the apostles in that same verse that they became evangelists. They were ready to go down and, you know, get in on what was going on in Samaria. So we look tonight, we got just 3 points I want to talk about. The very first one is the apostolic visitation of Samaria. And verses 14 through 17, it said that they when they heard that Samaria had received the word in verse 14, the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, so we know that this is something that's different than today. The Samaritans had received the Word of God. That word there, when it says they received the Word of God, it's not just saying that they heard the Word of God. These were really people that were trusting God. I mean, they were in the saved mode. Why they hadn't received the Holy Ghost, you can't figure it out. You can look all up and down through the New Testament, through Acts, why they didn't get the Holy Spirit right away. You can't come to any conclusion on that. But back to my first thing I mentioned, it was just in the plan of God. That's all I can tell you, why it was different than it is today. And it says that they were baptized. And that was the next step. So they were acting in faith on what they had. And, you know, you think about, was anything wrong with, was it because some people say, well, the apostles had to go down there in that day. That's not true. Because later on, when Paul was converted, there was a man named Ananias that went to him, and then he received the Holy Spirit. He was not an apostle. He was just a layman that was being obedient to the Word of God. And so that wasn't the case. You know, was there something wrong with Philip preaching? No, it said they received the Word. I mean, they really believed in their heart, and they were being obedient in believers' baptism. Well, what would have happened in that dispensation? It's not even a dispensation. What would have happened in that economy? Somebody died before the apostles got there and laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. I got to believe that they would have still been saved just because it was an act of faith. They didn't have the Holy Spirit as life, because the apostles themselves, a lot of them followed Jesus before they ever received the Holy Spirit. Remember in the upper room, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Were they really true believers and followers of Jesus? Yes, they were. Were saved by grace through faith. Had they exercised faith? Yes, they had. And so I just, you know, that's just me. That's the way I believe it. But, you know, you got to have the Holy Spirit for spiritual life. And I'll tell you that. You got to have that right now. And right now, sitting on churches all over the place, is there's people that have quenched the Holy Spirit of God so far down that they don't appear to be any spiritual life. I'm going to tell you, remember that old seed I was talking about, how it don't look like you got a seed. It don't look like there's no life in it. It looks deader than a doornail. There's life in there. You get a little water on it. Huh? What in the Word? Well, we get a little water on it, right? The water can be used for the Word. It can be used for the Spirit of God as well. And you get a little water on a person's life, and guess what? There's some life that comes out of that. But, you know, you have to have that for power and things that you need. But there wasn't any fault in what Philip had done. His preaching was good. It was good preaching. There was no fault in that. There was no fault in their believing. They believed with the light that they had, that they trusted. So as I said, no explanation. In the New Testament, there's people that have hypothesized and speculated and wondered why it was different then. I don't know why. I just know after Cornelius got saved, from then on, when people believe they received the Holy Spirit, that's the way it is today. You know, that's just the way it is today. But God doesn't have to explain it to us, does he? You know, because he's in control. It's God's business. And that's all we need to know. And we see Peter and John, they came down, and it tells us what they did. They came down, and the very first thing, they prayed for them. And then it says that they laid hands on them. And then it says they received the Holy Ghost. Now, it doesn't say, really, when you study that out, it doesn't say that they received the Holy Ghost because they prayed for them, although I'm sure that. It doesn't say they received the Holy Ghost because they laid hands on them. It's they prayed for them, they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And I'll show you that here in just a little bit, how that works and how it's sorted out that way. Now, as I said, some say because Philip wasn't an apostle, they didn't receive the Holy Ghost. But in Paul's ministry wasn't an apostle that ministered to him when he received it. And it wasn't the laying on of hands either, because Cornelius received the Spirit and no one laid hands on him. So what's the point? The point is that God can do what he wants to do. Amen. That God can do what he wants to do. And he doesn't have to explain it to us. You know, a lot of times, see, this is what our problem is, especially Baptists. We're probably as bad as anybody about this. We always got we got dispensations, and we got systems, and we got programs, and we got these plans, and everything's got to fall into that. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. If it doesn't go outside the Word of God, it doesn't have to. There's not always a system or a method that we can figure out, and not even a reason. We always try to figure out God. Well, you know, this is the reason that God did such and such. How do you know? You know, that's like it's like those people on TV. I tell you about the horse whisperers and the people that say they can talk to your pets. You know, you give me $35, I'm going to talk to your pet and I'll tell you what your pet's thinking. How are you going to argue with that? Huh? This is what I know. I'm telling you, this is what your dog's thinking. Huh? Your dog's thinking he wants another hamburger. I'd be right. I mean, what a scam, right? I mean, what a scam. You can't argue with it, right? It's we can't figure out what God's thinking, what he's doing. The title of the message, John 3:8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth means it blows where it wants. It blows, you know, the wind just blows where it wants to blow. And you can't, we don't have any control over that. And when the Holy Spirit of God, how the Holy Spirit of God works, I mean, he can work how he wants. You know, it may not be the same. Everything's not, you know, even our salvation experience. I mean, you're saved by faith, saved by grace through faith. I understand that's always the same. Blood of Jesus, you got to have that. You know, you get the Holy Spirit. But how God actually works into everybody's individual life may be just a little bit different. You know, there's people that are just radically transformed. Man, I mean, Sherry's got a sister that, man, she was lost as Hogan's goat one day, and that she got saved, and boom, man, she was a changed person. I mean, instantly. This went away, and things came in. Some people, God kind of like chops them off a little bit at a time. You know, some things kind of go away. And it's just different how God works in your life. And some people really get on board right away and God really works. Now, you know, a lot of it has to do with the person surrendering their life more so, but right away. But, you know, God just works and God can work that way. We always can't get it all straightened out. You know, as I said, organization's a good thing. Systems sometimes, that's a good thing. But the life and the power of the church and the Christian is not in organizations or in systems or methods. It's in the indwelling of the Spirit. Sometimes you hear, and you know, we study things and they got different steps. You know, you hear people write books all the time. 7 steps to achieve. You do this, you know. And sometimes and there's things, listen, that we got to do to be there are some things that are going to be necessary for us to be everything that God wants us to be. Filled with the Spirit. I mean, yeah, you're going to have to get in the Word of God. I don't mean a superficial reading, casually, you know, blowing over there. Well, I got 10 verses to run down today, boy. How many did you read? Well, I got a chapter done today, you know, this morning. I mean, I'm talking about reading, studying, letting it apply to your life. Looking, you're going to have to do. There's a step for you right there. You're going to have to spend some time in prayer, and it's going to have to be a little deeper than now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep, that kind of prayer. You're going to have to get down there with some confessing, huh? and some honesty, and looking at yourself instead of looking at everybody else. And, you know, Lord, I wish you'd do something with Lester. Good night, man. That boy, man, I mean, he needs a lot of help, you know. I mean, we spend all day long praying about everybody else when we ought to just, like, you know, get selfish there and cut it off and pray about yourself every now and then. Not that there's anything wrong with you, Lester. I mean, I'm just saying. You're a good example. You know what I'm saying? There's got to be some serious, but we got to do some serious, you know, you're going to have to do that to really have God work in your life. That's a step. But, I mean, you can't also look at it like, all right, here's the steps. Read my Bible, pray, and then God's just going to, you know, your thinking is not right. you know, that way. It's got, you know, desire and that type things. Now, you think, boy, what a difference. They came down, they prayed, and they laid hands on them, and they did receive the Holy Spirit. And what a difference that made. Like I said, here we got the early church, right? This is in Samaria, so things are happening. They heard the Word of God, they believed. Now you have to have the Holy Spirit. Think about the early disciples. We criticized Peter a lot, but guess what? Peter didn't have the Holy Spirit of God when he had all the problems there before the cross. The Holy Spirit hadn't been given yet. He didn't have a whole lot of power, did he? I mean, we're always blaming old Peter. Man, we got more power than he had, and we fail more than he does. And, you know, and I'll tell you, with Peter, man, it didn't take him 4.5 years to repent, man. I mean, he repented in about 20 minutes. And he got down there and he cried out to God after that, and he didn't have the Holy Spirit of God. But we had a church. We had people that were meeting together, ecclesia, called out assembly. We had it. We had it in the upper room. We had it here and there. But the church didn't have any power. You're not going to have any power. We've got the Holy Spirit. I know that. But are we filled with the Holy Spirit, where we let the Holy Spirit of God control our life? That, you know, where we're just saying, okay, God, you're doing, saying, go this way, I'm going. And God, go that, you know, go that way and then do this and let this go and take on that. Are we doing that? When that happens, you know, that's being filled with the Spirit of God. And so what a difference that makes. And so the church itself, man, had to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And as yet, it hadn't happened. Oh, hey, the city was full of joy, and they had received the Word. But guess what? Remember all those persecutions that got Philip down there in the first place? They're going to be coming. Huh? They're going to be coming. Look here, we're talking tonight about a church, and they're just trying to have a church service. Somebody thinks, hey, this is going to be a good place to go shoot somebody. Huh? What do you think? Would you be nervous? Huh? If somebody had to come in here this morning and shot three people, killed three people, and I said, well, we're still having church at 6:30 tonight, would this many people be here? Hey, we'd all be turning our chairs around facing that way, right? I mean, what? Huh? Listen, I mean, you know, maybe, I don't know. But I'm telling you what, man, is it going to stop us? Is that what we're going to do from now on? Well, we can't. Are we just going to quit having church because somebody comes in here and shoots somebody? Huh? No, but how are we going to have the power to stand? How are we going to be brave enough to do it? Huh? You know, we're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You got to have. So they had to be empowered. They were going to have persecution, and people were going to be. Remember, people were being put to death in that day for being Christians. And so when the Holy Spirit came into their lives, listen, this, you know, they were empowered. It empowered the church and empowered the people. You can't be a witness. Oh, preacher, I just don't know what to say. Maybe the problem is you're not saved. I just can't talk to people. Maybe the problem is you're not saved. These people didn't have a problem. It said they went everywhere preaching the Word. What do you think would be easier? Would it be easier to go out here and preach the Word around here where you know everybody? Would it be easier to go to a town where you don't know anybody? Probably might be easier to go to a town where you don't know nobody. Because around here, everybody knows you. Say, good night, it can't be real. Larry Falls, good night. Huh? I mean, you know what I'm saying? People know you, right? They knew your past life, but those are the people you got the most impact with because they know where you were and they want to see where you're at. That's what they need to see. But the thing is, it says here, they went everywhere preaching the Word. They didn't have preaching 101 in some school somewhere. They didn't go to Bible college. Didn't even have a Bible. Didn't even have a Bible. They just went out preaching the Word. And then we sit back here. We got the Holy Spirit of God. We've got the Word of God. We got Sunday school. We've got Sunday morning. We got Sunday night. We got Wednesday night. We got a prayer meeting on Tuesday night for ladies and men. We got other little extracurricular things going on. And people say, well, I just don't know what to say. How come they knew what to say? We don't know what to say. Because they had the Spirit of God. They had the Spirit of God. This is what the Holy Spirit empowers you to do, to be a witness. This is another thing. And you have to have that. And so then I got a question. When somebody can't be a witness, I've got to say to myself, well, maybe the problem is either you don't have the Holy Spirit of God or you've quenched him down to the point where you don't feel any power from the Holy Spirit of God, because does the Holy Spirit want us to be witnesses? Yeah, he wants us to be witnesses. And the Holy Spirit wants us to be a witness. He's going to empower us to do it. He's not going to call us something to do something that he's not going to give us the ability to do. And so then if we're not doing it, we're not listening. You know, we're not following the Spirit, which is a quenching of the Holy Spirit. So we think about that, you know, when the Holy Spirit, it made a difference. And then they were baptized by the Holy Spirit, and this is a figure of speech, we know that they were baptized into one body, the church and or the body of Christ. They were baptized into the body of Christ. They became Christians in personality and being. You become Christians in personality and being, your very inner lives. You know what happens when things change, folks? Huh? When the Holy Spirit of God comes into your life, you think you can still be the same old bump on a log and not be the same or not be different? Do you think that can be a reality with the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you? You're not going to change? No. Not if you're doing some of the other things. Not if you're doing some of the other things you ought to be doing. Jeffrey, good to see you, buddy. Okay. So they became Christian in personality and being. What did they know? What did they know about how a Christian's supposed to act? They didn't have the Word of God. They didn't have a Bible. I mean, they had the Word of God preached verbally. They didn't have the Bible. How did they know how a Christian's supposed to act, look, smell, talk, walk, live, where you ought to go, where you shouldn't go, what you ought to do, witness? How do they know all that? Holy Spirit indwelling. Holy Spirit indwelling. There's a whole lot you don't need to know, or you won't have to know, if the Holy Spirit of God is indwelling in your life. And so they became Christian in personality and being. They had the outlook that Jesus had, and they had the passion that Jesus had. They made the choices in life the choices of Jesus. You know, the what would Jesus do? Remember that was real popular? See, you didn't need it. Really, I used to say, it's, if you had one of these, that's okay. People had them bracelets, WWJD, what would Jesus do? That's what you got the Holy Spirit for, to tell you what Jesus would do. He'd tell you exactly what he would do. And then, in them, and in us, Jesus would think, love, and will, his will through the people that were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then all the gifts and resources of the church became theirs. This is what they had to learn. All the gifts and the resources of the church became theirs. What, you know, and there's lots of gifts. I mean, there's gifts of administrations. There's gifts of consolation. You know, people that comfort, all those things. People that say you can't sing, maybe somebody in church can. You can just listen to them. You like that? I mean, there's gifts and all those things. All the resources of the church become ours when we're baptized into one body, the body of Jesus Christ. And all the gifts, they had the gifts of the apostles, the evangelists, the teachers, the helpers. All those things became theirs. But then, by way of contrast, we see Simon comes on the scene. Now we look at this in the second point, the apostolic discipline of Simon, verse 18 through 24. And he saw, it said, when he saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. And then Peter said to him, his money was going to perish with him, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Now Simon, get this straight, Simon wasn't asking for he wasn't asking for the Holy Spirit. He wanted the power because he erroneously thought that by laying on of hands that they received the Holy Ghost, that that was the key to it all. And he said, I want that power. Now, why do you think that Simon, and remember, Simon was a sorcerer, and he went around, he had the whole city bewitched. And I guess I'm just assuming, casting spells and this and that, and he didn't do it for nothing. That's how he made his living. So he thinks, hey, boy, look at this. They received the Holy Ghost, and I want this power so that I can go out here. I can make a living by, you know, giving the Holy Ghost to people that and charging them money. He wanted that power. They have a word for it even. It's kind of in Christian or religious circles, simony. The word simony thinks that you can buy favor with God. You can buy favor with God. You know, like we can pay so much money, and then we get so many sins. I should, you know, that might work better than tithing. Huh? Hey, yeah, y'all want some big sins. It's going to cost you a lot. You know, this is crazy. Or even that I can give God more money, and therefore God kind of owes me. You know, he's going to owe me some favor. And give that extra offering. Or pay money to receive from God something. He wanted this, the way it would apply to us, he wanted spiritual power for personal gain. Spiritual power for personal gain. Now, when I got saved, the charismatic movement was pretty strong. Been strong in the 70s. It was, you heard more about it than you do now. In the charismatic movement, the problem with the charismatic movement, and even in the Corinthian church, it was a problem. People were putting more, they were glorifying the gifts more than they were glorifying God. They were saying they wanted the flashy ones. That was the Corinthian things. And when he talked about speaking in tongues, everybody wanted, they wanted that. They didn't want the gift of administration or the gift of giving. They wanted the gift, the real flashy one. Look at me. God's working through me. This is what they want. I'll never forget. I was in a church that was sort of charismatic. And they had a ministry to gypsies. Sherry and I were in there, the pastor that married us. And he was in there. He preached a message that morning, pretty good message. And we got over with. One of the gypsy ladies was standing there, and we're all standing there. All of a sudden, somebody off in a church somewhere, church service over, they bust out speaking in tongues, who knows what. And the gypsy lady says, "Oh, listen, it's a message from God." I was, you know, kind of a smart aleck. I know it's hard for you to believe that. And I said, "Oh, really? I thought that's what the pastor had." I didn't even know nothing. I mean, I wasn't even saved yet. I said, "I thought that's what the pastor had, the message from God. You know, this is it." But they thought because it was like, you know, all, you know, like you got to speak Japanese and then I got to have somebody translate it so I know what you said. Just tell me in my language, you know, let's get, do it that way. But that was what the problem with it is. And it happens in other areas too. Somebody gives God a beautiful voice to sing. And listen, singers, man, singers have been, ask any pastor that's pastored any amount of time, the biggest headache in the whole church is singers. Man, everybody wants to sing. They come in, people come in, they just want to sing. They don't want to listen to preaching. They don't want to live by the word of God. They just want to go up there and sing. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. I'm not talking about all the singers, but a lot of them. They just want to sing because, you know, they like singing, sure. But then they get the glory and not God. Man, if the preaching of the word to me, and this is the way I've always been, and I still think this day, listen, there's nothing more important than the preaching of the word of God. So by the preaching of the word shall men be saved. Huh? Now, I know you can get a message out of the song, but that's what the Bible says. It said the preaching of the word, didn't say the singing of the word. And listen, I like good singing and all that. But listen, man, if you're doing it to glorify you and we're filled with the Spirit, remember what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? Huh? That lie couldn't live in that church. And if we're filled with the Spirit of God and somebody's doing something for them to get glory and not God to get glory, it's not going to live in that church. It's not going to live. And so there's other ways to want spiritual power for personal gain versus, a pastor, a preacher. He might have the gift to preach. I mean, he might be a charismatic type person that can draw a crowd and get a crowd, and he gets people following him instead of following God. See, that's, and Peter and John got tempted here in this one area. I'll show you in a second. They got tempted in this. It was a subtle temptation that we'll look at here in just in a second. He said, "Listen, Simon saw that through the laying, verse 18, laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money." You got to remember, man, these were poor people. These were poor people. Peter was a fisherman, and John was a fisherman. That's what you did when you couldn't do nothing else. They hadn't been fishing for a while either. They've been following Jesus, man. They were living hand to mouth. They were depending on God. They didn't have a lot of money, I'll guarantee you. And he said, "Listen, I'll give you some money if you give me this power." Now, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it, but they could have. It could have been a temptation to somehow say, "Hey, we'll do what we can. You know, give us some money." There was a temptation there to get for personal gain, or even this, a temptation for personal recognition. That saying that, "Hey, you've got the power to give me the power." You know, they're thinking they could have been lifted up in pride in their own self. But Peter and John knew full well that the Holy Spirit didn't fall on the Samaritans because they laid hands on them. They knew that. They couldn't go and just lay hands on anybody and the Holy Spirit come. That wasn't going to happen. But see, Simon didn't know that. So there was a slight temptation for them. But Peter said, look what he said in verse 20. Peter said, "And thy money perish with thee because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." Yeah, no. He pointed out the error there. And Peter, I believe, remembered what happened to Ananias and Sapphira that we mentioned a minute ago. And he warned him. He said, "Listen, thy money perish with thee." I mean, Peter didn't know. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Peter didn't call down some curse on them and say, "Well, God, go ahead and knock them dead because they done kind of been deceiving the people around here." No, God did it. You know it. Ananias came in and, man, he dropped dead. Peter spoke to him, he dropped dead. Sapphira come in a little bit later, a couple hours later. Peter spoke to her and she dropped dead. Now Simon's wanting to buy. He said, "Listen, man, you're in danger. This is what he tell him. You're in danger. God, Peter don't know that God's not going to kill him. He said, because you think that you can use the gift of God for personal gain. And boy, I think it must have put a little fear into Simon. And bring, you know, you think about the question. Was Simon really saved? Well, it said he believed. And he said he received the word of God. He was one of them. Said he was baptized, and we know baptism's not a, doesn't do anything to you if it's not an internal thing. I kind of have looked at this and thought about it. I think he was saved. I think he was saved. Are we perfect after salvation? We're not perfect. He had a wrong thought, but you got to remember, this is brand new, man. No Bible, no nothing. The Holy Spirit, you know, they're getting it. I mean, he had some stuff that maybe God had to deal with. Yeah, he could have been saved. I mean, he could have been saved. He tells him to repent. He said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. I mean, you might be able to look at that either way and say, well, he's not saved, he needed to repent and pray, or that he was saved and he needed to, he said that perhaps the thought of thine heart be forgiven thee. But there was some danger right there. He said, thy money perish with thee. Repent from wickedness. This is what the problem is. A lot of times, you know, people come in and there's counseling. They want to, oh, you know, preacher, man, I got this problem in my life and I just don't know what I'm going to do about it. I got this temptation and I'm doing this and that, you know. And they want to know. And then once again, they want the 7-step program on how to get to victory over this deal that's going on in their life or, you know, some kind of method. Listen, here's the deal. Repent. Quit doing it. It's real. Just repent. Repent and get right with God. That's all you got to do. Repent and get right with God. Quit beating around the bush. Look what he said. He said, look here. Perhaps in verse 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Don't you know that you got to have forgiveness for things you think in your heart? It's not just the act. The Bible says that if a man lusts after a woman, he's committed adultery with her already in his heart. Right? If you hate your brother, you've committed murder. There's stuff, you know, you can sin with your mind. Just because you think, well, if I don't commit the act, if I don't do anything, if I think about killing somebody and I don't really kill them, no, the Bible says the other. So we got things. See, this is where we got to have a clean heart. All that wickedness, the Bible says, where does it come from? It was at the heart, right? It's our heart. So just because you think, well, look, I'm real clean living, I'm in good indeed. The Pharisees, that was their problem. Their heart wasn't right. Oh, they didn't break none of the laws. They didn't break none of the rules, but they had bad attitudes. How many of you ever had a bad attitude? You ever had a bad attitude? I had one a couple times. We got to repent, right? He said, listen, so the thoughts, we have to have things covered. The thoughts of our heart right there. And then here's the third thing, the apostolic evangelism. To see how God works on our hearts. Just hold your place there. Look back up just a little bit to Luke chapter 9. I'll show you something. This is John, I think. Yeah, John talking. Luke 9. And verse 49. All the way over in verse 49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed not with us. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Okay, remember, this is Samaritans. Now, this is before what's going on here next. Remember, we're the Samaritans. They're the ones that just received the Holy Ghost. And John is the one that's down there laying hands on and praying him. And it says, and they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. So there was John back in those days. There's old John saying, well, because they didn't receive the Lord, right? He said, hey, well, you know what? You think we ought to command fire to come down and just burn them all up? He wasn't a very forgiving soul, was he? But you know what? God works in your heart. God works on your heart. Now we see John down here. He's leading them on. And In those early days, he would have killed them all. But what happened? He was changed. His life was changed by the Spirit of God. He was still the Son of Thunder. That was his nickname. But his force is going in a different direction. See, God doesn't take our personalities and take all the things out of it. We're still the person, we still have our personality. God just starts using our personality for his glory. But receiving the Holy Spirit, that is Christianity, and it's nothing else. It's more than intellect, more than an ideal, more than an imitation. Those things don't make Christians. It's only the Spirit of God. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's what the Bible tells us. So we learn in this story here, in closing, what the Christian life is. It's cooperation of service. It's perfect fellowship. It's a Spirit-filled church. And the Spirit-filled church is a church in which sin cannot live. The power of the church and then Samaria is gained through the power of the church. The triumph of the church must be that of the word proclaimed in the power of the Spirit. That's all we have to operate with. It's not in our power, but it's in Christ's power. Let's all stand.